This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Talca Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we're brought to you by Go Loud. And hello, Ben. What a hilarious weekend we had.
Hello, Duty. How are we?
Oh, I'm fucking great.
Oh, it's kind of just been delirious laughter all weekend, I think.
You know, when by the time Saturday rolled around, I didn't think I could laugh anymore. And then, by God, that result on Saturday was well and truly the cherry on top.
Yeah, it was the icing on the cake, the cherry on top. It was everything you wanted and more. It was just the worst people in the world are miserable and we're happy.
And the best people in the world are happy. And that's a statement of fact. We are, of course, talking about back-to-back. People are calling it the North Dublin Derby now because I think it offended an awful lot of people when it's referred to as a Dublin Derby. Oh, those same people that are offended by that were also completely miserable come 10 o'clock on both Friday and Saturday night. So, look, nobody really cares.
We call it a Dublin Derby because it pisses people off.
Yeah, true.
The other side that call it a North Dublin Derby, well, they're kind of becoming what they hate the most, aren't they? They're becoming the minnows, if you will.
Oh, God. Oh, Ben, you know those days when we were wallowing in the first division? I always dreamt. I used to think, and it was so fantasy at the time. Imagine if we, like, when we get promoted, and at the time I was thinking, you know, it'll probably take 10, 12 years in the Premier Division. Maybe we'll win a league again before they do. By God. Not only has that happened, but they are now losing their minds. One fella referred to us online as Identity Crisis FC. Ooh. And as one of our listeners pointed out, the irony was obviously not lost on him. But anyway.
The ironing is delicious.
Yes, we are here to talk about a 1-0 win on Friday and a 7-2 trouncing on Saturday. Let's start with Friday, Ben. Not far from a comfortable win, but at the same time, we were the better team on the night. We absolutely battered them in the second half and fully deserving of 3 points in the end.
Yeah, you've pretty much just summed it up there. I think anyone that saw the game, it wasn't a particularly pretty first half from both sides, but I think second half especially was performance of champions. As I think the manager said, it was just the levels were raised and Bowles didn't really have an answer for it. I knew Bowles would be poor coming into it because look, obviously stuff isn't going right for them, but I just thought with the occasion that's in it, they'd be up for it a little bit more. But we well and truly just dispatched them, I think.
That whole thing is bandied around an awful lot before about, I've seen an awful lot of ball stuff online about, like, you know, needing to want to win the game and like we can't let this lot, you know, beat us and all this type of stuff. It's gone past that for me with balls. Doesn't look to be any sort of plan. Like how it took so long to make substitutions, I just don't know. But again, I don't care about them. I care about us. And there was a very good feeling in the ground beforehand. I thought I was there nice and early. I was finding you generally get a bit of a vibe off the people around the place.
Yeah, but like, as you said there, you get a vibe off the people around the place. Like, I know just from being there early, you see like the lads coming in, they're buzzing, they're up for it. They're excited. Those balls lads walked in, like they weren't even talking to each other on the way to the tunnel. Their heads were down. Like, look, I'm no body language expert, but they didn't come in the place acting as if they're going to try and win a game of football. Ball's staff very much the same. I don't know if you found that.
Yeah, they looked like they were on the way to the wall in Kilmainham. Like, they just... It's only now that you've said that, you're completely right. Like, air players kind of bounce in and...
There's a real energy there. There's a real...
Yeah.
Like, it's positive. It's driven. Like, there is a real drive in the players when you speak to them, like, coming in during that day. And we kind of, like, we're usually always quite high energy, to be fair. We're always kind of winding each other up and we're chatting and the Watsons will come out and they'll wind us up and we'll wind them up and everyone's kind of really high energy and good energy. But that was kind of reciprocated by the players. Like, game faces were well and truly on, but they just seemed to be up for it. Like, and the same could not be said.
While I think of it, Conor Cairns drops us with amazing knowledge. Generally before a game, Darren joked about it here a few weeks ago, but I am going to start getting him to give me a piece of information every single Friday. And I will ask you all on the podcast the following week, is it true? Or, I don't know, we'll come up with some kind of word to rhyme with that. Because the man just picks knowledge out of his brain. I put him on the spot. I said, Connor, hit me with some knowledge. And bang, like that. Not a bother to him. Something about a honeymoon. That's all I remember. It was above my my faculties. But the first half, Ben, we'll go back to the starting 11. Because obviously, Gano was back in. No Meepo from the start. I would have expected Meepo to start just because John Martin obviously went off injured.
I always thought in the back of my mind if Boydie was fully fit, he would come in for John, I think.
Yeah, but I would have been expecting... I was surprised that it was only Boydie. You know, there wasn't both. I don't know, Harry Wood kind of played a bit further up the pitch, but they'd probably surprise me that Meepo didn't start.
Yeah, I just think, look, Meepo, an incredibly gifted player, real talent, but I think in terms of what Boydie will give you is, Boydie can really help you with that fast start, the foot on the neck, just going at them, pressing them, not making them get any kind of foothold in the game or get comfortable at all. I think that's a massive strength of his game and one that I think really helped.
And just on Boydie, I'll get this out of the way now. Boydie does some mad shit.
Yes, he does.
It's fair to say. He does some things that you just go, right, that's just a Boydie moment. There's not really much you can do. The likes of, you know, the yellows for a descent or, you know, the dive. Or didn't he have two dives actually early in the season he got booked for? Like, there are some mad things that Boydie does, but he is not treated or refereed fairly, I don't think.
No, absolutely not.
People will say that's bias.
It's not bias.
And I'm sure if you're a Bowes fan or somebody like that listening, you're saying, ah, go out of that, will you? But when you go back and look at some of those incidents, he is being dragged all over the place by, I did say before the game, Ben, where was the winning in the game for us?
You tell me.
Boydie against who?
You did. Oh, you kept saying Boydie against Sean Graham, didn't you?
Yes.
Did say
and
that.
And by God, Sean Graham struggled to deal with him. So instead of trying to defend the ball, Graham decided to just defend Boydie. And it's just...
Did you not call
it? It's very frustrating to watch. I can't imagine how frustrating it is for Sean.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I do agree. I think Boydie is refereed completely differently to the most players, whether there is a bias there or there isn't. One, I think, really notable incident, apart from one where he was basically dragged down, but he stayed on his feet and he managed to get a shot off. There was another, I think it was around the 40th minute, and I remember watching the game back, and even the commentators were laughing about how ridiculous it was for both the referee and the lino to miss it, because the lino was right there. The referee was a little bit behind. I think he struggled to keep up with the game, to be fair. Boydie goes up for a header, and it's where Bowes get their best chance. I think it was around the 40th minute. Boydie goes up to win a header at the halfway line. He gets absolutely barreled, pushed in the back, nowhere near the ball. I think it ends up at Tierney's feet. He goes on a pretty good run, to be fair. Gets it to Savoy and goes wide. But like, you have commentators saying, oh, that's a pretty obvious push in the back, and laughing when it's not called. Like,
yeah, and it's not a Shell thing. I'm not saying like the refs are against Shells or anything like that, because I do think if Meepo or John Martin is playing in that position, I think they are given free kicks for that.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know whether it's just because he's a big beast, a big red machine or what, but anyway, look, listen to me. We beat Bowers 1-0 on Friday and I'm moaning about referees.
I'm not one for referee bashing. But to be fair, I think a lot of the times when results do go your way, you do forget when there is kind of refereeing issues. And there was a few. I didn't think...
he was shite, Ben.
You were... Yeah, well, look, I was going to be a bit more political about it. Yeah, you want to say how it is? Oh, shit. I don't think he was particularly good. I think he's very lucky that Bowles weren't up for it a bit more and there wasn't more tackles flying in, because he would have had more to do.
That's a fair point. I wouldn't say Bowles worried me a bit in the first half. They had a couple of chances. They'd, I think Flores had a header. They had another... Yeah. Kind of pot shot from distance, kind of rolled around the back of the goal. They probably had the clearer chances in the first half, but again, half time rolls around and we just come out like a different animal. We suffocated them, didn't give them oxygen. They were just camped off. They left Colin Whelan up top, who I actually looked, I was about to say I pitied him. I didn't pity him, I was laughing at him. But
you actually did say, haha, look at that Egypt up there. At one stage, direct like, quote.
He just had no hope at all. They showed no ambition. But at the same time, I think we made it very hard for them to try and get any kind of foothold in the game.
No, I think that second half, everyone comes out and we do play that little bit higher and we do win the ball higher up the pitch. Like, we just, as you said, no oxygen, completely smothered them to a point where they just couldn't play that much football, to be fair. I think we completely dominated the game in the second half. I think we made it our own, and it was just a case of, I think Darren said, had a good line about it being, the foot was on the neck. I think I said it was kind of like, you have them on the ropes, you're just waiting for the knockout blow, and it does fall. And from where we're standing near the tunnel, it's very hard to see the brilliance of the goal, because there was a lot of brilliance. It just looked real scrappy from where we were. But watching it back, it's such a good goal, to be fair. Like, the build-up, everything that goes into it. The initial pass, Stephen Caffrey from H absolutely busting the gut to get into the box for when it does come across. And his lovely assist that he definitely meant, and it wasn't the back heel that he just missed hit.
See, this, I should have learned my lesson from the time that I blamed Boydie in his post-match interview for giving away a penalty, even though he didn't. I dropped another clanger somewhere else because I didn't watch one of our goals back. And it does be a bit busy and chaotic after the game, between the game finishing and interview time. So I need to learn to watch goals back, because I said to Mark Coyle in his post-match interview that it was a scrappy goal. And he gave me one of those looks as if to say, what are you talking about? And he was very quick to say there was quality from Harry Wood, from Evan Caffrey, from Ali Koo to, didn't, yeah, Ali stuck the ball across then for Harry Wood, who I am in charge of putting the assists in the comment, and I should have given him an assist. I didn't. And then Meepo's finish, which Meepo's obviously been watching some Evan Caffrey footage, because that drag back, that little cut back across, that has Evan Caffrey pats away written all over it. But as you say, it looked scrappy at the time. It was in no way scrappy. A very, very good goal. Probably showcased what we're about. And
yeah, just hitting them quick, hitting them, like getting everyone up. It was a good team goal, to be fair. On Meepo's finish, a real striker's finish. Like, people can look at that and say, yeah, look, he's a striker, he should be finishing it. But it's unbelievable quality to not panic, composure, to just cut in and that finish. It's just, I think the manager said it was street football. I think that's the best way to put it. It looks like a finish straight out of a World Cup doubles.
Yeah, it did. It did just find a way to get it in the net. Interesting as well, I know Meepo did the media rounds after the game, as you'd fully expect, scoring the winner in the Dublin Derby. But he mentioned, I think it was when he was speaking to Off the Ball maybe, that he hadn't talked to the manager all week. And he obviously isn't happy that he's not starting. I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that. Now, look, I'm sure it goes on regularly, but players just wouldn't normally say it. You've been surprised to see Meepo say it in public?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm surprised to see him say it. Like, I'm sure it's a thing that happens a lot. Like, you see it in the Premier League, you see it in Spanish League, German, all the top leagues in the world where players are like, yeah, I haven't spoken to the manager. He had fallen, not out of favour, but he probably hadn't been hitting the marks that he would have liked themselves. So I don't know about you, if I was in that situation and you just want to be out there and you need something to light a fire under you, that'd light a fire under me.
100%. And I think the manager alluded to it as well. He kind of said, look, maybe I was probably not starting as much as he'd like to, but that's the way you do it. Play angry, go out there and basically shove it back in the manager's face and say, well, there you go, that's why you should have had me in from the start. But the other thing I did want to mention before we got to the goal was the substitutions and the decisions within those substitutions. Obviously, Meepo came on for Ellis. That was a fairly straightforward one. But when JJ got injured, I just presumed Sam Bowen had come on.
I think
we'd push Mark Coyle back up into midfield, and kind of that would be.
I think you said that to me, and I think I was pretty much in agreement because that probably looked like the most obvious one.
Yeah, like that's a big decision. Like, you're taking off your holding midfielder and you're bringing on a really attacking midfielder. Brave stuff. Like, if that goes wrong and if we get caught on a counter or something like that, you might say, oh, geez, what are we doing? We could have had Coyler in there, but brave decision. And obviously, look, Ali Koo plays such a big role in the goal. But like, they're little, what would seem like a little thing, like, that's won us the game, that substitution.
Yeah.
Because if Ali's not where he is, none of that whole move kicks off and ends the way it does. So, like, that, not that I can't remember specific examples of the manager making a bad substitution as such, but like, they're big, big decisions, and they can come very, very good come the end of a season where you look back and go, oh yeah, that win we got against Bowes was huge. Now, whether anyone will remember that substitution, I don't know, but I think it's important to recognise just how important it was to be brave and not to be. I think maybe the Duffer of 2 years ago maybe might have settled a bit more, but it's definitely a sign of the ambition and not being happy to not win games at home.
It probably shows the growth and the quality within the squad as well, though. Like, if you have an option like Ali Koot, you're looking to win a game, you have a proper chance, you have them on the ropes, go for it. And he gambled and he went for it, and I think probably it shows a maturity and a growth within everyone, the staff and players in the squad. And look, we said it a few times on here this year, Ali, whether he starts or he comes off the bench, he's been such a big player and such a consistent player because he has those moments, he has that magic in him where he'll get the ball and he'll make something happen.
Yeah, we've seen that in Talca last year as well with that lob. Like, the, as you say, moments. But I think Ali is just a victim of, like, I think any other year he starts every single week and there's probably not much of an argument about it. But it's just, as you say, it's testament to the depth that's there, that somebody like Ali Koo isn't starting games. And I'm sure he's another one that's going to be rightly pissed off not to be starting. But I mean, it's not a bad way to stake your claim for next week, I suppose.
But
actually, the other one, and I feel like I say this all the time, and sometimes I worry that it sounds like a bit of a token kind of bit of praise, John O'Sullivan has been huge in the Sligo game, and in that Bowls game, coming off the bench towards the end of a game, and just...
It's just the energy you bring when he comes on. It's just, he's going to make that run. He's going to press that player. He's going to... He'll make something happen. And it might seem insignificant, or it mightn't seem like it's an important thing, but it is massive to kind of unsettle. He does really well to just pick up little pockets of space where he'll be able to take the ball and do something with it. Or alternatively, he will be able to win the ball back. He's just, he's had some positive impacts, as you said, Sligo as well. So it's great to see him back in the squad and in and around the sub, because he does have an awful lot to offer, I think. Another one, as you said, just touching on Ali as well, with the manager and the way the squad seems to work, and it has worked over the last few years, I don't think it's really about, like, look, obviously you'd want to be starting every week, but I think with players, it's just, they seem to just bide their time, and when they come in, they come in and they do well. Look, it happened to Evan Caffrey. Those shouts being like, how could you leave Evan Caffrey out to start? Even this season, when he was left out of a game or two, you're like, how could you leave him out? He's scoring goals, he's doing well. JJ didn't start the season. And the tail end of last year, he was one of our best players. Like, we were a better side with JJ in it. I think it probably shows the testament to the manager and his staff, the squad they put together, that, like, these players aren't in it every week, but JJ, especially coming back in recent weeks, has been massive. And it is great that when those players are called upon, when they are on the bench, they do provide such a lift to the squad.
They do. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, John O'Sullivan is probably the poster boy for the difference in the trajectory of the two football clubs that played on Friday. Like, he... If you had told a Bowls fan a couple of years ago that John O'Sullivan was going to come on and the biggest thing he was going to bring to the game was his energy, you know, I don't think anyone would have thought that. And the fact that he's come here, he's settled in so well, he seems to love it. Everyone loves him. Supporters, players, everyone seems to love him. Like, imagine if you were a Bowls fan there in the Ballybock end, looking at him coming on and going, like, where has this all gone so wrong? Because there's not a hope.
It's amazing. I have a massive smile on my face now, dude. Thanks for reminding me.
Oh, but it's true. Like, look, there was big question marks over John when he signed here first, and I completely understood that. But my biggest thing, and it was the same when we signed Meepo, it's been the same when we signed some others, where you go, oh, you know, there's a lot of kind of background stuff there, but I really don't think you get in the door unless the manager and the staff are fully convinced that they can do something with you. And, like, by God, if they've done something for John O'Sullivan, like, they really have.
Now, Bowls have 47 jerseys this season, and John O'Sullivan has a league winner's medal. So all is right with the world.
Some of the winding up that went on after the game on Friday was just amazing. Some of the stuff I seen online from Bowls fans was incredible. Just incredible. I had such a good night. We went for a couple of pints afterwards, and I just, it was like we were all just flicking through, and you'd see something and go, ah, see this? Ah, this is great.
Yeah, just take the phone in the middle of the table and everyone would laugh and then take another drink. It was pretty spectacular.
It was. Right, that rounds off the night. Harry Wood and Cam Ledwidge, their performances got them into the team of the week, so well done to the two lads. Cam is becoming one of those ones now, similar to Gav Malloy when he was here, in that you may just stick him in every week, because...
Yeah, if you're going to do that team of the week stuff, you may copy and paste it and just leave Cam in it, because it's going to give you probably 8 out of 10 every week. Again, just the player that Cam has grown into, he's just been absolutely immense. Last season, when Gav left, it was either we sign someone or someone steps up, and Cam just stepped up and kind of hasn't looked back since, I'd say.
No, he definitely hasn't. He's one of... So, look, from what we've seen this year, he's... is a stretch to say he's been the best defender in the league. I don't watch enough of the other teams to definitively say, but he's been outrageously good.
Yeah, I think that's a shout. I'm not going to argue with you.
Right. Ben, let's move on. And I just need you to wait for a second. Can you, while I rattle through this, can you just wait there for a second?
Okay.
Now, it might take a while. So, are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Final score, Bohemians 2, Shelburne Football Club 7. Mackenzie Anthony, 13 minutes. Rebecca Cook, 36 minutes. Leah Doyle, 43 minutes. Mackenzie Anthony, 45 minutes. Pearl Slattery, 65 minutes. Pearl Slattery again, 73 minutes. And the icing on the cake, Kate Mooney, 89 minutes. A Daily Mount demolition job, Ben. How satisfying was it?
You pretty much just summed it up there. Again, it's one of those, you can't stop smiling. You definitely can't stop laughing. Because all the worst people in the world are miserable. it was amazing. Like, there's no other words to describe it other than amazing, because every time I watched the goal go in, I'd sit there and laugh like Hank Scorpio.
That's a fucking great show. I'm going off to watch that episode after this now, definitely.
That was genuinely me every time a goal went in, and even just hearing it now, I'm still smiling, still laughing.
I'm sitting there smiling myself, and it was a funny game because I had a great time trying to explain to my six-year-old what was going on, because obviously she sees the... I actually think she recognises a Bowes jersey quicker than a Shells one now, to be honest with you, because she knows to give people stick for it. But I was trying to explain to her about, like, no, that is the Shells team that you watch. It's just the commentator speaking Irish. She was struggling to wrap her little head around that. But there was a game there. Like, Bowes got it back to 1-1. They did have a couple of chances, and it looked like it was going to be one of those, right, we need to grind this out type thing. And then just kind of after Rebecca's goal, it just turned into a demolition job. Mackenzie Anthony has even the finish, the little dink.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Insert joke about the best chips in the league or something here, you know. it was just, as you said, Daily Mount demolition, which is what I'm going to keep calling it to everyone I speak to. I might just go to the shop tomorrow and say Daily Mount demolition to anyone that'll listen, because it was 7 goals, 5 goal scorers. The funny thing, you kind of touched on it there. When it was 1-1, there probably was a 10-minute spell where you think, hold on, Bowes actually might be able to do something here. They didn't look too bad. They played well to get their goal. Their goal was well worked, and then they just capitulated. So that's amazing. I think props does have to go probably to Emmanuel McQuillan, the defence. There's some big saves in there, some big tackles that kind of settles those 5 to 10 minutes at 1-1, and then you just absolutely annihilate them.
And look, we know how that league works. Goal difference can be very, very important. So whatever about it just being completely hilarious to bash ball 7-2, you don't know how important that could be down the line as well. So that's another big positive in it. One thing though, Ben, and I don't want to be putting dampeners on things, the TG Carhartt cameramen, the handheld lads, getting those close-ups in the dugout all the time, like,
very weird. It just reminds me of that Mick McCarthy clip.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was like. It's too close. Like, we just back up a little bit. Like, I don't know. It looked a bit.
Every time I cut to it, I was like, they're going to play Careless Whisper now.
But I was more worried about Owen Wearing basically saying, here, get that out of my face, will you?
Because the camera.
I just got images in my head of, imagine the Virgin cameraman Friday trying to do that in the Shells dugout. I mean, he would have got flung over the main stand roof.
He could have got a few footballs down.
Make him useful. But that is the only gripe I have from Saturday. An amazing evening spent watching the Reds demolish.
But I think as well, you do kind of have to realise that it's just after an international break as well. That kind of stop-start, you never know what kind of havoc it could cause within a team just because you've just kind of got your feet under you and then you're breaking. But I think it was Onwear and touched on it in the post-match where he said that the levels were raised in training after the international break. Obviously, two girls in the national team setup, and was Rebecca with the 19s? So obviously that's massive to come back into. So I think it probably just shows the week they had in training when they come out and play like they're training, like they're playing against the 17s or the 19s.
Yeah, and look, well, how tight that meeting is as well.
Would have kept it closer, I'd say.
There's no room for slip-ups, as we know, and that's definitely a potential banana skin. Obviously, at Lone State Top, they got their win as well. So, look, we play Cork on Saturday at home. It's the usual 4 p.m. in Tolka. Or I say the usual, the new kickoff time at 4 p.m. in Tolka. That's just another one of those ones that you need to win. Like, we just have to win home games. There's no kind of other way around it. And then it's kind of split up again because the All-Ireland Cup then is the following week. We play Linfield. So you kind of... Like, I know that Rory Kirk spoke about this at the fans forum about they went with a slightly tighter group just... They felt it was a better way to approach things. I just hope that All-Ireland Cup game doesn't come at the wrong time. But look, I'm too far ahead. I'm thinking too far ahead. Let's just think about Cork this week. Needs to be at 3 points. I'm very, very hopeful it will be. And as I say, it's 4 p.m. kickoff in Tolka on Saturday. If you can't be there, you can watch live on LOI TV.
Duty. Also, sorry, can I just touch on one thing about how shit Bows are?
Absolutely, you can.
Obviously, you watched the game, and Pearl, two wonderfully well-taken goals. But if you are a team, and if you're in any way kind of professional, and you do your homework on an opposition, letting Pearl Slattery get free on a set piece, is that not probably number one on your list of threats? No, is that just me?
No, well, it definitely should have been in hindsight, yeah. Hindsight being a wonderful thing. Yeah, I probably haven't made enough fuss, actually, of a Pearl Slattery brace. I've kind of just brushed over that, really.
Yeah, I think two very well-taken goals, to be fair. And again, she just gets free and no one gets near her. I don't know how, with the reputation she has for set pieces and finishing set pieces, you don't have two people on her at all times because she's that dangerous. But two very well taken goals.
It's four from four.
Yeah, it's just it's hard to imagine that she's still operating at this level, but she just seems to get better every year.
That's the professionalism. Like, when you look after yourself properly, you know, you prepare properly. That's, you get these rewards now. Do you know, there's plenty of other players well on the decline at this stage. Not for Pearl. Pearl's still going more than strong. I'm just looking at the top goal scorer list, Ben, for the Women's Premier Division. Mackenzie Anthony with 4, Kate Mooney with 4, Pearl Slattery with 4, and then Leah Doyle with 3. That's outrageous.
I tell you what. Pearl, go for the golden boot, please.
Oh, man. A Pearl Slattery golden boot. Imagine.
We won't have to imagine it. It will be a thing.
Yeah. We have a busy, busy, busy weekend ahead. I've mentioned there, Cork at home on Saturday coming. Before that, top of the table meets the champions, Ben. Trip up the M1. And I actually want to kibosh something here. I heard somebody there, I think it was last week, on one of the many League of Ireland podcasts knocking around out there, saying that Drogheda are our bogey team. We've only lost twice to Drogheda in the league in the time Duffer's been the manager. So that definitely doesn't constitute a bogey team, let me just say. But they do always seem to give us a difficult game. How do you see Friday going?
Look, it's not going to be an easy game. They're riding high. They're pulling out results. They're playing really good football, to be fair to them. They, to a player, stick to their tactics and will live and die by it. And it is effective. It's winning them games. It's getting them 3 points. Again, it's just not going to be easy. It'll be a tight game, I think. One that I think it's very important we have a quick start to.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. But even Friday felt like such a big result. I think another similar result for this Friday would just really kind of, I think teams would look and go, right, okay. Like, they are the real deal again, because the only team that beat and drew this year is Rovers. And people will always say that about Rovers, you know, they're a bit of class, Sean True, and all the rest of it. I think if you go there Friday and win, I think people start looking, saying, right, it's definitely time to take this seriously again. But on the flip side of that, this far into the season, this time last year, we would have been probably tongue-in-cheek at the time. I don't mind saying, you know, we might win it, you know. Shells will win it, we'll be back in the Champions League. Like, is it totally impossible for Drogheda to keep this momentum going?
I wouldn't say so. To be honest, people probably said the same about us at this stage last year. Is it totally possible for them to go and do it? I think anyone can win a game of football on any given night. I know that's a cliche, but as well as that, if you look at the players, that this, is it Douglas James Taylor still to come back?
Yep.
Like, they've some quality there and it's working for them. They still have players to come back. I don't know. I think you have to, especially at this stage where they are, you have to take them seriously.
But even if you're stats inclined, like, they've scored the second most goals in the league, that's 13. They conceded the joint fewest, which is 5. As I mentioned there earlier, they've only lost one game. That was against Rovers. They've only failed to score in one game this season. Like, they're not a team to be messed with, not a team to be taken.
They're not scraping 1-0s in the 90th minute and nicking it. They're playing well, they're doing well, and they're getting results.
They are, and it is going to be an extremely difficult game. No updates on injuries. I don't know. You know, obviously, Paddy was still missing. Tyreek still out. JJ obviously hobbled off on Friday gone, so not too sure how that one pans out. Whether the manager gives an update in his team news this week or not.
That's all your fault, by the way. Everyone's going to blame you for that.
But it's bollocks. I'm not just talking about our manager. Like, I'm talking about all the managers. It doesn't mean anything. It's fantasy. But anyway, actually, I don't know why I've thought that now. It's because I said our manager. I can't remember the name of the person, but somebody asked last week, do you know where this is going, Ben?
I don't.
Somebody asked why we always refer to him as the manager. And we never say, like, Duffer or... And that same person said, at one stage, I referred to him as Duffer, and I went back and corrected myself and said the manager. Did you know we did that?
No, it's not really a conscious thing. I think it's just what everyone kind of calls him. So,
yeah,
a bit weird to call it, like... Yeah, I think it's probably just a conscious thing of everyone calls him the manager, so we call him the manager.
Damien's too formal, Duffer's too casual, so I just think the manager is easier. Talking about that Drogheda game, the club are looking to run a bus. If my WhatsApp would load, that would be fantastic. It's Depart and Talk at 6 p.m. If you are interested in a seat on the bus, you can text or WhatsApp John Brennan. It's 087-661-0927. there's no price just yet. I think that's dependent on numbers. So if you are interested, get in touch with John. Again, it's 087-661-0927 if you're interested in travelling up to Drogheda. And then, of course, we have Galway on Monday, Ben. Of course, a certain Mauro Picotto will be playing beforehand, which I'm sure an awful lot of people are very excited by. I'm sure other people are dreading it, just logistically, which I can understand as well. But it could be an interesting atmosphere on Monday. And I also did a silly thing on Friday by saying, watch, after all this, Picotto stuff, it'll probably be a shite nil all draw. And I happened to say that to the captain of the football club, which,
I mean,
wasn't wise.
Anyone who knows you very well knows you enough to say you're not great in social situations, believe it or not, considering you host a podcast and conduct interviews. But sometimes you don't think and you just speak and then you're like, wait, hold on, why have I said that? But I found it very funny, and to be fair, I think Kyler found it funny.
I wasn't sure at the start. I think he kind of looked at me and I thought he might have tackled me, but
that would have been hilarious, and the camera was rolling, so it would have been funny to get.
They obviously don't have, or have never heard of Mauro Picotto up in Albert, because poor Coyler, I don't know whether it's that kind of Donegal accent struggled to get the Picotto out, but I hadn't a clue what the man was saying to me.
To be fair, that's not the worst thing I've heard. Someone said, why is the S&C playing before the game? I said, what? Mauro's playing. I'm like, no. Not Mauro. Different person
altogether. As usual, Ben, the old Instagram box went up.
I also had one up because I was told to be more like you, Duty, the ever professional Stephen Duty. So
Jesus, who told you to do that?
You did, actually.
Did
You're like,
it doesn't sound like something like Sam was had a few points on me.
I'm pretty sure you said you shared my story, but people can answer the question box. So put your own question box.
Maybe so. Sean Harris, simple, straight to the point. He said, I'm just happy. Can't really argue with that.
I think that summed up a lot of Reds.
It did. It was Adam Murphy who had said to me, I can't get over one of them calling us Identity Crisis FC on Twitter. Their lack of self-awareness is very impressive. Kyle Enoshell said, some win for both. Definitely wasn't expecting a 7-2. And I woke up my entire neighbourhood celebrating Meepo's goal. Yeah, if I was at home watching, I'd say I would have done similar. It would have been one of those, might have dived straight through the sitting room window.
Ralph Wiggum.
Or Homer jumping out of a burning house and he hits the trampoline straight back in.
The Simpsons references are flown this episode.
Ty Brennan, if JJ is injured, do you put Kyle back into midfield or do you keep him at centre back?
That is a headache for someone way more qualified than us.
Yes. I don't need headaches. I really don't. Like, there's so many options. You could put Evan back into the middle. That would free Gano up to go back to wing back. Could leave Kyler in there. He could play in the middle of the tree, as we've seen. He could play to the right of the tree.
Kyler is, like, I think we kind of glossed over it. I know we've mentioned it in recent weeks, but he's been absolutely spectacular at the back.
He's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And I did ask him after the game, would he have a different appreciation for a centre-half now having play that, and I definitely think he does appreciate what a centre half does, looking stuff at the best of times.
And also, one thing I do appreciate is, if you ever notice, if there's ever like a tough loss or a draw where something bad might happen, usually it's Coyler that gets it. Poor Coyler always gets done with what we call them, the shit ones. Very creative name, I know. But Duty went up to him and he said, it's your time to shine, you're getting a good one here. So it was
good. Just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
I think he was more relieved than anything else.
It was good to finally get him out there on a positive note. But performance-wise, like, he's just you've said it before, it's just pure captain. Like, it's just do whatever needs to be done. If there's a hole in the boat, he'll plug it with his toe. Like, he just...
He just has the knack. He's just... Mark Hoyle's fucking amazing.
And that's the title of the episode.
Lucas O'Dunn said, the ball from Harry Ward to Caffrey leading to the goal. And then he's used that emoji. I'd give it the mid to late 90s Italian arguing with the referee.
Right.
Type gesture. And he says his pre-assist passes are underrated. Now, you can take your pre-assist and you can shove it. But I do get what you mean. His pass to McCaffrey was...
good at passing the football.
Alex Wall just said JJ Looney.
Yeah, I got that one too. And I think it's very important to highlight that JJ has been exceptional since coming back in. To be fair, he does a lot of grunt work. He does a lot of covering. He does a lot of running, as well as playing. I turned to you at one stage, just kept nudging you. I was like, oh, he did it. He did the JJ pass where he just gets that little pass inside.
Oh, reverse ball, yeah.
Yeah. I was very excited to see that. I think we pretty much got the same question, so it's good to see that people are asking twice. Make sure the questions are answered. A good friend of the pod, Rory, who was once a sponsor for you, Duty of the Pod.
Yeah, this microphone I'm sitting talking into was proudly sponsored by Rory Brady. Sorry, Rory.
Rory just said, ha 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 ha, fuck balls, up the Reds.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. You got anything else readable? I would say just to people, there are some stuff here that I cannot read out. Like some of the names used to describe the football club up the road.
Shelbyville is my favourite one.
As much as I probably agree with what these people are saying, I can't. One person called them, hang on, pretty sure I can read this out. I don't think this is going to do any. Shane F89 said, and we're the Minnows. Delighted for every single one of them nits up the road.
That's one I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. Ben, any other ones before we come to our Richie Rankins?
Yeah, I think we're okay there. I think I'll go Richie Rankins first, though.
Yes. I do have two for both, so I've all bases covered, so go on.
I'm pretty sure it might hit actually both, to be fair. Richie Baker, if you made it to the end of the podcast, hello, Reggie. We're not going to bash you this week. It's actually you. I think Richie Baker this week has to be Reggie. If anyone did see at halftime, Reggie was... he made his debut, number 40, is a squad number. He came out. He was announced on... The PA is, I think, a protege of one Niall Bourdon.
Yeah.
And he was in goal for a penalty for a child who was... Dude, I think you know a bit more about this than I do now.
It was a young lad, the manager, basically...
He met...
Now over the Christmas time in Temple Street. He was invited by the club to come be a mascot. And he got to take a penalty on the hallowed turf at halftime. And by God, did he bury Reggie.
Yeah, to be fair to Reggie, he was like, oh, will I try save them?
Or will I let it in? There was not fucking letting them in, I tell you.
Yeah. Now, he was joking. Obviously, he was going to let them in. He was like, oh, I'll save it and give it the big one. But no, I think he was well and truly buried for both penalties. But fair play to Reg, because it's not an easy thing to do, getting out there at halftime with all your mates giving you a stick. But it was a very nice thing to do, and it was the right thing to do. So he does get a bit of stick here, sometimes unnecessary. But as you know, Duty, we call it Reggie work. It's the grunt work, the backbone, everything you need done, that man will do it. And he was asked to do it, and he just said, yeah, because that's what he does.
Yeah, like you'll hear us every week. You'll see Ben on the pitch getting video after a game, you'll see Darren running around doing all the mad stuff he does on a match night and beyond. You'll rarely see Reggie doing anything, but he does so much, so much non-glamorous work in the background. So, yeah, that's fair, I suppose. We'll give him that one this week.
He's getting back to the abuse next week, just so you know.
Say that again.
We're back to the abuse next week. Like, we're going to be giving him stick next week.
Absolutely, yeah. Back to normality.
Yeah.
Richie Baker, Ben, is... It's actually Keith Tracy.
Okay.
Just because sometimes watching games back, it's very difficult to watch them back because sometimes the commentary or the co-commentary or whatever it might be leaves an awful lot to be desired. I think he's very good. You know that he's played the game at a high level just because of the way he talks. He speaks like a normal human being, not like an AI-generated type thing. And... I just think he's a pretty good co-commentator and a good analyst. So,
yeah, no,
unfortunately, he did play for Pats at one stage. But look, we all have our problems.
Yeah, I won't hold that against him. My Richie Winter now. This one pains me. I think you know who it is. I think you know why it pains me. It has to be Roddy.
Yeah.
It has to be Roddy Collins. I like Roddy. He's funny, nice fella, but. His comments throughout the game were bizarre. His comments about Meepo were just very strange.
Like, yeah, I'm not getting into the thing of defending him, but I'm probably about to defend him. I think he knew as soon as he said it that it was a stupid thing to say. Because he followed it closely by, now I love the lad. But I think he knew as soon as the words came out of his mouth that it was very, very stupid. But yeah, it's unforgivable stuff to be saying, really. Like, it's nonsense for a start. And
he's basically just come out and said, he's muck.
Yeah, it was a bit personal, kind of. Now, I don't think it came across a bit personal. I would be surprised if that's the way he meant it. But, not a great look. Not great.
No. And I like Roddy. I think he's funny. And I think he actually adds an awful lot of personality to that TV broadcast. And probably, as you said, one of the few things that make it watchable. I think they do some really great things and there's good people there. I think it's just, as you said, it's the personality, it's the less robotic people, the people that can just kind of gauge the emotion of a game and sell it and come out with a few crackers. But he's just got it wrong there. He just made a stupid call and you should be ashamed of it. It's stupid.
Very stupid is right. My Richie Winter, Ben, and this is the one I thought you were going to go for.
Oh, I think I know who it is. It's him right. Again, isn't it?
It's... This stuff was starting to bother me, and I'm going to end up going on about it more because I feel vindicated because an awful lot of people got in touch with both of us when we talked about it last week. People who just want to make everything about themselves.
Cork again, isn't it?
It's Cork again. Oh, look at me. I caught a ball. Nobody gives a shit. Honest to God. And anyone who does give a shit and who entertains that and, like... gives it any kind of attention, and I know I'm giving it attention now by moaning about it, but I do think it's important. It's so stupid. Nobody cares. A day in the life of a bleeding kit man for some team that finished bottom of the first division. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And you know what's worse? They're boring. They're not even funny people. Like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for the Watsons going down to some far-flung area of the country, because it'd be good crack, I'd say. These goons, no. Bunch of gimps, Ben. That's all I can say.
They are also losing 4-0, by the way.
Oh, are they at the moment? Jeez, I forgot that was on, yeah.
At the moment, they are currently losing 4-0, but, like, I do agree. Just do your job. You're there to tweet about the game. Who cares if you yourself caught a football? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, you don't hear me bragging that I was famous in Zurich for my beard, do you?
The chin.
I could if I want, but I don't.
But like, it's a tweet of a Pat's clearance. At what stage would you tweet a clearance? You wouldn't. The whole tweet was just purely for the line of it flew into the gantry, but I caught the ball. No.
And it's different if, like, say if it was us and a ball got launched, say me and you are commentating, ball gets launched up into the gantry and I caught it. And then whether it be Reggie or Dazzler, whoever is looking after the tweets and says, oh, what a catch by A, B, or C. Now I go mad, you know me. I'm like, get that down now. Absolutely no way. But it's just, oh, it's self-indulgent. It's everybody look at me. Like, I'm so important.
I think, like, my feelings of it, and I don't know if this is a bit of a weird take, just you are not there to get yourself over. You're there to put over the football club, the people there, the players, the staff, everything there. Like, you're there to tell that story. You're not there to tell your own story. If you want to, grand, personally documented, keep some things for yourself, great. But like, for a few clicks online, for people to tell you how great you are, just wouldn't be my thing.
No, it certainly wouldn't be. And in the wise words of a wiser man from the small town in Munster, just do your job. On that note, Ben, we're there. We're done. Another edition of the 1895 podcast about to be in the can. Thank you, as always, for giving up your... What day is today? Monday? Monday evening.
It's Monday, Stephen.
It is Monday, you're right. Busy, busy weekend. But I'm buzzing for it. I can't wait. Ben, thank you very much. And we will talk to you all on Friday.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.